Dear God, we come this morning to praise you. We come to love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We sang songs about loving you, God, but the reason that we love you is because your word says you, God, demonstrate your love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You died making a way of salvation where we can be with you for eternity, but Lord, you also died and you make a way through the moment that we put faith in you. Your Holy Spirit comes into our life, and that Spirit there is to change us and transform us and truly make us into new creatures. God, you love us in the midst of our struggle and our pain, but Lord, you love us so much you don't want to leave us there either. And so, Lord, there might be some here today who are struggling. Maybe they're struggling with addiction. Maybe they're struggling with anger. Maybe they're struggling just with grief, facing loss in their life. And you, God, want to meet them right where they are. You want to be the God of all comfort that you are with a person who is struggling with grief. You want to be that person in their life who is struggling with addiction. You want to give them freedom that comes only through walking by your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, there are some here today that are just excited. And you, Lord, you just want to work through them to continue to magnify and to glorify you. And Lord, remind us, Lord, that you're such a loving God that when we glorify you, that is just good for us. There's blessing in it. Lord, we pray today as we open your word that you might speak to us, you might just guide us, you might direct us, and you might spur us on, Lord, to bring you glory. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. If you need to go to children's church, you can slowly make your way out by just going back here to the door. Just walk out, and you can make your way there. And then everyone else can open their Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Verses 3 through 8 this morning. Now, I'm excited to be back here. It's been, I've been here some, but I've obviously have not been up here for 4 Sundays now. And so some of you might be glad, well, that was good. We're glad you were gone for a while. But I get the itch, all right? And so probably after only 2 Sundays, I'm ready to go, okay? And so also my children are ready for me to go as well. So I'm not just preaching at them at home. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to read this together. You can just stay seated where you're at. So if we just put up on the screen slides 3 and 4, we're going to read this together. And if you would, just follow after me. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, you guys are supposed to read with me, okay? All right, so can you do that? All right, how many of you can read? All right, how many can read with me? All right, let's do this together. We're the body of Christ, so let's share in this together. So let me start again. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. In verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Amen. It's beautiful to hear the body of Christ reading God's word together. And that's what the family of God is to do as the body of Christ. Well, a few weeks ago, Mike put up this picture of me. Man, that was so many years ago. If I could just jump that high once again, it's not possible. But I remember when that picture was taken. It was my senior year in high school, and the Cincinnati Enquirer, they sent out a photographer and reporter to come out and to watch our practice. Now, when you're a teenager and you see a photographer come and start making pictures, all right, of you in particular, there's just, I mean, I was never a great leaper, but I'll tell you, on that day, the juices were flowing, and I was probably jumping higher than I had in the last 3 or 4 years, all right? But there's something that just gets your juices jumping, but there's another part to this story, though, that Mike didn't know. I want to tell you is that that was preseason, but when we got into the season and when we started our league games, one of the early league games was an away game at a place called Summit Country Day. That's who we were playing. And as we showed up at that, I noticed as we came into the place, and when you go to an away game to play, you can always kind of expect getting jeered, all right? You can always kind of expect some people are going to talk some trash to you, all right? But when I got into that gym that day, I looked down on one side, and on the one side of the wall behind the cheerleaders, there was this big poster that was made with a figure on it who was supposedly dunking. It was a copy, a mocking picture of that. And then on that poster, what it said was on that poster, it said, "Hey, Hollywood." And then I don't even remember what it said after that. It was certainly something derogatory that was said towards me, but they were using that picture to mock me. And one of the worst things that happened from that is somehow in the process, I let that poster and I let that ranting and jeering against me in that game, it got into my head. And I had one of the worst games of the entire season. And then so when you have a bad game, you look forward to playing that team again because you want to show them, "Hey, I am Hollywood," okay? Well, the thing is, the next time I played in the game before, I hurt my foot. And so I couldn't play in that game. And so we had lost the first one. But the second game, without me playing, my teammates went on to beat that team. Now, I was excited for them. I was cheering. But you know there's a part of you. Yeah, you know where I'm going. Yeah. There's a part of you that prideful part of you. They don't really need me. But you know what God really taught me about this? Was what he taught me once again is that basketball, it's a team sport. The basketball is not about one person who can do that or do other things. But basketball is a team sport. It's a game where we have to play, that each people have different gifts and abilities and talents and skills and different roles within the church or within the, oops, I gave it away, within the team, where they're all working together to accomplish the goal. Matter of fact, Mike, I don't have the picture, but Mike also had a picture up there with LeBron James and Michael Jordan. And let me tell you something, as ones who particularly follow Michael Jordan back when I was a young pup, one of the things is that Michael Jordan never won a championship by himself. I mean, he did a lot of spectacular things, but he had to have teammates around him that could work with him and help elevate the team in order that they might win championships. Same thing with LeBron James. And so, too, the same thing when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is not about some guy who gets up and talks regularly on Sundays. It's not about just a few people that you might see more often. Church of Jesus Christ is a team sport. It's about a group of people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and then has been spiritually placed into the body of Christ. And we come with different skills and gifts, and we've been given certain spiritual gifts. And that we're to come together under the headship of Jesus Christ, the real star of the show, and we're to work together to accomplish his mission to glorify God and make disciples. This morning, we're going to have what we call Say Yes Sunday. If you notice, there are some pictures all around here. These are going to be small group opportunities, some that are already going on that we want you to kind of be able to visit and get to know some people. But also out there, we do have tacos as well. But out there in the foyer areas, we're going to have different service opportunities for you to visit and to see how you might be able to serve. And the reason why is we want you to say yes to being the church. Being the church is not just attending the church. Being the church is realizing that you already belong to the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, and then we want you to act on that sense of belonging and be in community with each other. And being the church also involves being strong in the mission of Christ by using the talents and the gifts and abilities that God has given you so that we might be the church. We might be the team of Jesus Christ together. I want to show you this, that I'm not just making this up, that I'm not just doing this because I've got certain things I want you to do. I'm going to tell you this is because this is what God's word tells us, and that's what we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. But let me give you the context for Romans 12, verse 3. It starts with this. If we go to Romans chapters 1 through 3, we realize that we're all sinners deserving God's wrath, but God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ. And that this salvation, as we see in Romans 3, 4, and 5, comes through faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that once we put our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, we're declared righteous on the basis of Christ's work, and we become a part of the body of Christ. But he's not done there. He goes on, and what he does is he provides for us. He does this continuing work in us. In chapters 6, 7, and 8, we see this work of sanctification that he's doing in us, that he's growing us and becoming more and more like Christ. And this God who does this, he's a sovereign God, and he's going to finish his plans. And then he comes to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says this. Listen closely to what it says there. Verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God is that he's withheld his wrath against us, and it's all that he's done for us in Romans 1 through 11. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, on the basis of all that mercy I've just talked to you about, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What are sacrifices typically in the Old Testament? They're dead, right? He says, I don't want dead sacrifices. I want a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That is, in response to the amazing mercy and grace that Christ has accomplished for us, he says, here's what I want. I want you to worship me by giving your life to me. Give me your life back. That's what I want. That's the way that we worship him. See, church isn't just something we come and we just worship on Sunday, but being the church and worship is a way of life. Then he says this, that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is one of the ways that we begin to worship him, is we change the way that we used to think. And then he says that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then on the heels of this, he says, let me show you how you're to think. Let me show you how you're to worship. Let me show you what the will of God is for your life. Now, how many of you here want to know God's will, especially you all right now? Like, what is God's will for me? Where do I go to college? All right? Or the bigger one, who am I to marry? Wait till you get into college, that one comes up. All right? You know, one of the main things to figuring out God's will, all right, there's that unknown part of God's will, but there's that known. And what I'm about to tell you is part of God's known will. And when you operate according to God's known will, he will begin over time to show you his unknown will for you. But focus on the known part. And here's the known part. Look what it says there. He wants you to be the church. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, his will for you is not that you would just attend church, but that you be the church. And being the church, according to verse 3, as we'll see here, starts with thinking accurately about ourselves and each other who are in the body of Christ. Look at me, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, that's all of us who are the body of Christ here, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned. I quote, thinking more highly of oneself means you do not realize that everybody in the body of Christ is gifted. Everybody has a purpose, and everybody is important. You know, in high school, when that morning came, and I didn't realize where it was going to be in the paper, but when I opened the Cincinnati Enquirer, and I saw that up on the upper half of the newspaper, my picture, Hollywood, was there like on half of the picture. All right, guess what can happen to a 17, 18-year-old boy in his head? You got like an inflated view of yourself, don't you? You get kind of exaggerated on what you can do. I think there's a reason why Paul is starting with this. I think there's a reason why, because can you imagine the trouble Paul might have had with his head? And I think there's a reason why that Paul leads with this. Notice he doesn't lead for, and he does this in other places, but here where he's talking about humility, he doesn't start, for as an apostle of Jesus Christ, I say to everyone, he doesn't start with that line, does he? He doesn't start with his position. No, that's not what he says. Instead, what he says here, for through the grace given to who? To me, I say to everyone. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a gift. In essence, what Paul is saying is, look, I'm going to come to you, and the only reason that I can come to you and I can share this inspired word of God is by God's gracious gift that he has placed me and he has given me the function to be an apostle to help start the church. That's all. In essence, there's nothing special about me, guys. It's purely by the grace of God. And that's how we should look, and that's how I must look at my function. Tommy Nelson of Denton Bible, I heard him tell the story of back in the days when he was a quarterback at the University of North Texas. And he relayed that sometimes as he was a quarterback, what would happen is that these running backs would kind of get an inflated view in their head of who they were. And that sometimes along the way, particularly when a hole didn't open up and they weren't able to run through it and get the yardage that they would want, they would get upset. They would start yelling at the linemen. They would start telling them what to do. And what Nelson saw was he would see his linemen start to just look at each other. And Nelson knew what that meant. And the linemen knew what that meant. They had some kind of telepathy, like they were able to just kind of send that message to each other. And so what would happen is Nelson knew what was coming. So what he would do as a quarterback, he's like, there ain't no way I'm calling a pass play. All right, I'm not doing that. So he would call a play for the prima donna running back. All right. And so what would happen is when that was hiked, what would happen is he would hike the ball and Nelson would do all his might to get out of there as quick as he can, hand it off, and then he was out of there. Because what would happen with the lineman is the lineman would just kind of turn like Venetian blinds. All right. And then the defense would come in, and they were all bearing down, and they would light up the running back and pound him and drive him into the ground. And then Nelson said he would watch as that running back would pick himself up from the ground, and he would be transformed. He would rise up with a new humility and appreciation for the linemen. The linemen who were standing around and like, oh, too bad. How did that happen? But they were sending a message. And the message that they were sending is you need us. And the message that Paul is sending is, hey, Hollywood, don't think so big of yourself. Because my body is about many different people with different functions and different callings. So negatively, he says, don't think too highly of yourselves. But I also think he's speaking here positively because, look, he says, think with sober judgment. Or you might say sound judgment, or that is to have the right estimate of things, to be accurate. Now, Paul could have followed this up if he was just focusing on humility and doing away with pride. He might have said something like, be humble, or he might have said, see others as better than yourselves. He said that in other places, but he doesn't. He just says, have accurate judgments of yourselves. And so I think he's speaking not in just a negative term, but a positive term, because there's the other side of you that are sitting here today that you seem to doubt and to think, you know, I really don't have much to offer to the church. I'm not gifted. I'm not that significant. I can't run my mouth like Hollywood. And Paul is saying that's not accurate either. Because the truth is, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been given a spiritual gift. And you have natural gifts and abilities, and our Savior wants to use every one of those. Think accurately of yourself. Second, we want to be the church by belonging actively in the community which you already belong spiritually. Verse 4 says this, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So though many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The first thing I think he wants to see here is that within the body of Christ, there is unity. That is, we all come under the headship of Jesus Christ. It's his body, and there's unity in that. But within that unity, what he also wants us to see is that there is also diversity, that there's different functions, there's different giftings that are all vital to the body of Christ. There's functionality, but there's also beauty in this diversity. Imagine, you guys are probably wondering why this thing is here, but imagine if as a young father, I came to some of you and I said, hey, I want to show you my baby. Just go with me on this, all right? I got this idea from a youth pastor, so we'll see how it works. But what if I said I want to show you my baby, and I brought my baby to you, and my baby looked like that? That's my baby. You just said, ugh. I mean, if my baby looked like that, what would you say? Yeah. Or what if some of you guys were out on a date, and, you know, sitting from across from you, that's what your girlfriend looked like. Come on. Yeah. Or what if your baby looked like this? And his name was Mick Jagger, all right? Now, if we're all honest, and some of you aren't being honest, all right, just we need one child here to be honest. You said, ugh. If this is all that made up the body of Christ, a big mouth, we would all say, ugh. There's beauty in diversity within the body of Christ. There's beauty in the fact that all of you can't do what I do. There's beauty that I don't do as well or can't do some of the things that you're gifted to do. There's a beauty in that, and there's a functionality in that. We don't all want to be eyes. We don't all want to be lips. Who wants to be a lip or an eye? Anybody in here want to be one? All right, can you catch? Oh, I don't want to. I will nail somebody in the head, all right? I thought about it, then like CL was looking at me like, no, don't do that, all right? There's beauty, and there's functionality within the body of Christ when there's all different parts. If we showed up here on Sunday and there wasn't someone who regularly sacrificed to go out and to mow that lawn, and if we just had weeds everywhere all the time within the church, people would pull up and like, man, this, they don't know how to take care of stuff. If there wasn't a group of people that they were just waiting and chomping at the doors that when someone came in to visit, all right, that they were there ready to greet them and to give them a warm welcome and to show them around and say, oh, you have kids, all right? Good thing they don't just have eyes on them. So let me show you where these kids go. Let me do that. If you didn't have people that, hey, let me direct you where you can get a refreshment so you can feel warmly welcomed and let know that we want you here, all right? If you didn't have people that weren't seeking to make relationships and build those relationships, if we didn't have those things going on, if we didn't have coffee in particular, we wouldn't be the church, all right? If we didn't have people doing that, then the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't being put on display. If we didn't have people that were called to invest in young children and serve there, it makes it real hard where young parents can actually come and actually pay attention to what's going on. If we didn't, you realize that they don't just show up and play the music, they don't just come here 15 minutes before the service starts and start playing, but actually the people who lead music, they like work on it during the week, and then they get here early on Sundays and they practice to serve you. And if there wasn't people, I mean, I can get up here and I can preach, I can teach, I can preach till my eyes are blue all about how important it is to have genuine, authentic community. I can talk about theology and all these things, but if we don't have small group leaders and people who are facilitating community, then that theology and that community doesn't get worked out. It's so vital. Each of you have a part. Each of you, as the text says here, you belong. It says here, actually in the text, it says we are members of one another, but literally, I think the NIV translates it better. Each member belongs to all the others. There's not only a beauty, there's not only a functionality of having all the different gifts, but there is also a responsibility that you and I have to each other. That's the sense that God wants you to have here. If your mentality is that the church is just a place where I show up every once in a while, or if your mentality is this, and this is where I'm going to step on toes, all right? If your mentality is, what can the church do for me? If that's all ever stays there, what can the church do for me? That's called consumerism. Now, there is a time where we need to be taken in, where we need to be fed. Matter of fact, I had one of those times this past week, all right? It was my 21st wedding anniversary. And someone has so generously donated to us, given to us gift certificates, $100 worth to go to Texas Day, Brazil. Have you guys ever been there? That is the first time I'd ever been there, okay? I'm just to tell you right now, before you go, you need a mentor who has been there before to teach you how to do it, okay? Because I went, and there was an amazing, they start you with the salad bar, and it's not some cheap salad bar with iceberg lettuce, okay? They have prosciutto there, all right? I'm surprised I can even say that. They have all kinds of cheeses. They had smoked salmon. I just want to cry right now just thinking about it. That was delicious. They had vegetables. Get this, kids. They had vegetables that actually taste good. They're amazing. They all do, all right? It was amazing. And then so you get through this, and they had lobster bisque. Yes. And then after you get done with that, then comes the meat. You turn that card over, all right? And this is where I need the mentoring, all right? I need the mentoring right here. Pace yourself, Matt, all right? Don't take too many slices of a one kind early on, all right? Because they bring out lamb. They bring out beef and chicken with bacon. My favorite was the sirloins with garlic and then the spicy sirloins. And then we topped it off. It was our anniversary, and they gave us a free dessert. It was creme brulee. Did I say that right? Creme brulee, excuse me. I don't care. It tasted good, all right? I licked the bowl, all right? Elizabeth smacked me on the hands. Quit licking the bowl, Matt. And you come out of there and you were just like, you fed. And I rolled out of there like my mom's meatloaf is what I did, all right? And there's a time to do that. There's a time to take in food, but not every week, because you will turn into a meatloaf. Food is for a purpose. Food is to oh man, that was good food. I get spiritual. All right, food spiritually is to equip us. It's to nourish us and strengthen us so that then we might go out and be the church we're called to be. That's his point here. Be the church. Just don't consume what the church has to offer. Then he closes with this. Be the church by being strong in the mission. So be strong in the mission as you use your spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is it's a supernatural ability that the Holy Spirit gives to believers to enable them to perform particular functions. It's his gifting that he gives to us. Now, I don't have time to go through and give all these gifts and what they mean to us, but I don't think these are all the gifts that are listed here in verses 6, 7, and 8. I think you can go to places like 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4 to find other gifts, but he gives a number, and look what he says there in verse 6. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, he speaks of prophecy, and he speaks of service, and he speaks of teaching, and he speaks of exhorting, and he speaks of contributing or generosity, and he speaks of having leadership and of mercy as well. Let me just illustrate this because we've got other things we've got to do today. Let me illustrate how these gifts are so important, how it works. Let me illustrate it by how might these different giftings approach a problem. Let's say the problem is a marital problem. If the person is particularly gifted in the gift of prophecy, which I believe my opinion is prophecy is that there is some predictive possibility to it, but there's also more of a forth-telling to it as well. It's that person that when they approach a marriage and they look into the marriage and what they see is what they might see is like, hey, you want to know what your problem is in marriage? You want to know what it is? You're not seeking to live with your wife in an understanding way. That's from 1 Peter. That's your problem, and you need to stop it. You ever met those kind of people? There's a gift in that. Or maybe it's the wife, and hey, you don't know what your problem is. I know your husband's got problems, but you know what? You're not respecting him. God says in his word that you need to start respecting him. That don't mean you have to respect everything that he does, but you respect the position. By the way, prophets aren't real popular. But they're needed. But then there's the gift. Maybe it's the gift of service. This is the kind of person where when they see the problem within the marriage, what they do is, hey, you know what? I want to help you be able to attend, re-engage, so that you can strengthen your marriage. So here's what I want to do. You're helping in Cross Kids. You know what I want to do for you this semester? Is I'm going to take your place in Cross Kids so that you can go and you can be in re-engage. Or they might even do this, say, a great thing for you and your husband and you to do is that you might go away to a family life weekend retreat. And you know what I'm going to do for you so that you can get there? I'm going to watch your children for you all weekend. That's the person with the gift of service. Or it doesn't, by the way, if you don't have the gift of service, it doesn't mean you shouldn't serve, all right? It just means they're particularly gifted in this. A third thing is, though, another gift is the person with the gift of teaching. That's in my ballpark. And what they're going to say is when this problem of a marriage comes up, they're going to say, hey, let's sit down and let's go. Let me clarify the scripture to you of how you are to live with your wife in an understanding way. Or let me show you from Ephesians 5 how one of the primary ways you can love your husband is loving him with respect. And let me give you some practical ways to work that out. And then there's the gift with the person of the gift of exhortation. And they're the person that come alongside you and goes, I know that you've been struggling in your marriage, but you know what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can grow in your marriage. And they'll come alongside of you and encourage you and exhort you on. Then there's the person with the gift of giving. And what this person might say is, they might come and say, you know what? I so want you to go to Reengage. I'm going to buy your books for you. Or I so want you to go to the Family Life weekend retreat. I'm going to pay for the whole weekend for you and your husband to go. It's that kind of person. And then there's the person with the gift of leading. They're the person who's going to say, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? Is we need to have some kind of marriage ministry here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast the vision. I'm going to find people to operate this. And I'm going to lead to see that we have some kind of marriage ministry that is happening. And then last, there's that person with the gift of mercy. And the person with the gift of mercy is when they see that person who was struggling within their marriage and they're having that marital problem, is that they're going to be the person that they're especially gifted at sitting down, putting an arm around that person. And maybe they don't even open their mouths, but what they stop and they do is they cry with that person and they show mercy to them. Do you all see the beauty of the body of Christ working together on just one problem? Can you see the beauty in the body of Christ that is when we all serve and when we all utilize? Can you see the beauty and the functionality that takes place? My exhortation to you is then be strong in the mission of Christ and use your gift to put on display the beauty of the body of Christ to a world that is in need. Some of you right now might have the question, well, I don't know what my gift is. Let me give you three quick ideas. First is this. Here's how you find your spiritual gift, okay? Tests are great and stuff, but you know how you find it? Just start serving. That's how I learned over time that I could teach. I could do those things. Just be available to teach. Be able to serve. And as you're serving, the Lord will open up ways. Second thing is ask the following questions. Here's some questions. What do I like to do? What do I like to do? I'm just telling you, I like to do this. After 4 weeks, I was ready. I mean, last week I was like doing this towards the wanting to get up here. It's not because I want to be, it's just I enjoy opening up God's word. Second, what do I do well? All right, you may want to do something, but you don't necessarily do it well. That's probably an indicator that may not be your gift. Third, what is God blessing? Is God using it? What's the results? That could be an indicator. Last, seek the wisdom of other Christians concerning your gifts. I remember after my first pastorate was a struggle. All right. It was a difficult place, small little church. I left that place discouraged, broken, and I seriously was like, am I supposed to be doing this? Should I be a pastor? And by God's grace, I had other people that came around me and they go, I know it was rough. You have a lot to learn, but you're gifted. They helped reaffirm me. I want to close with the picture that I started. The church is a team sport. That is not the church. The church is about a people who understand that they belong to the body of Christ. And that they're seeking to be strong in the mission of Christ by using their gifts the Holy Spirit has given them. The church is this, so watch this. You can hit it. Hit it again. Hey, we are the church, folks. Be the church. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have all able-bodied men and ladies that are in that back section there, back there, and then over there. You're going to have an assignment. What you're going to do is you're going to stack those chairs 8 high. No one else is going to stack chairs, all right, except for the row in the back. All the men there are going to stack those back 2 rows and 8. And then here's what we're going to do. Inside here, we're going to have different small group leaders. And so if you're a small group leader or a group leader of anything that's in here, you need to get up now and go to your sign. You should have already found that sign. And then if you are leading an area of ministry, you need to go to your station out there in the back. So here's what's going to happen. We have opportunities for you to get connected in community. All right, we don't need to talk yet. So what I need you to do is in a moment here, we're going to let you go around and meet some of the different leaders. And then we also have service opportunities that are going to be out there in the foyer. But here's how we're enticing you to stay, okay? We have a lunch here for you. And at each of the stations out there in the work or out in the foyers where opportunities to serve, there's going to be different things that are there. So at one station, we're having the tacos. At another station, we're having nachos. At another station, we're having desserts. And we want you to take the time to kind of mingle around and just kind of see the different opportunities that are there. One thing we want you to know about is that one of the things that is happening is we're going to be starting an Art of Parenting class that will be meet on Wednesday nights. I will be leading that class along with the help of the Hogues as well. So we want you to also learn more about that and that opportunity. Hey, I know this is different, but it's okay to do different things, and better yet, we are going to feed you on top of that, all right? So you are dismissed, and you can slowly make your way around and just kind of meet with different people. No running or any of those things like that. Thank you.